This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The American Dance Festival opened its doors last night with the world premiere of The Second Visit to the Empress, choreographed by Chinese artist Shen Wei. It's now in its 67th year, the American Dance Festival. It's a showcase for choreographers and artists from around the world, for both accomplished artists as well as up-and-comers. This year's lineup includes the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company, as well as the Urban Bush Women, also includes Acts to Follow, where North Carolina choreographers will present their work to the American Dance Festival audiences. And joining us in the studio today, dance critic for the Independent Weekly, Byron Woods. Thanks for being with us, Byron.
Hello, good afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about the significance, the importance of the American Dance Festival to the dance world.
Okay, well, the American Dance Festival, depending on how you look at it, this is it's either the largest dance festival in the world or the second largest dance festival. It's certainly one of the oldest ongoing institutions that promotes modern dance.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about their importance to the dance world, and maybe even to a world even larger than the dance community, it deals with the role that they have played over the years in finding, identifying, mm-hmm. and then nurturing new talent in the field, new choreographers. They're really indispensable in terms of finding and encouraging choreographers at the very beginnings of their careers, yeah. sometimes early on, providing them with opportunities, and that includes funding, of course, opportunities, commissions for new work, and the chance to bring that work out to a public audience.
Is it strictly modern dance?
Yeah, the American Dance Festival is devoted to modern dance. Has been since the inception, back in Generation Zero of modern dance, I guess we could say, in the United States. Martha Graham, Hanya Holm, and a number of dancers from the very dawn of what I guess we've come to think of as modern dance in the 1930s. In the United States,
and is modern dance something you put a year on? I mean, how do you define and distinguish modern dance?
Oh, goodness gracious! Yes, modern dance. It's good to be careful with that thought, because modern dance, it's the phrase modern dance is almost as elastic as that phrase performance art. It's used to define
when you don't know what else to say.
A very broad range of activity. We think of modern dance as dance that uses or is interested in innovations on or departures sometimes from classical techniques, mm-hmm. the stuff that we see in classical ballet, classical dance. We also tend to see artists in the field of modern or contemporary dance. It seems to be a place that people go to look at social concerns, to raise issues that they that the choreographers are engaged with, that they feel issues that are confronting the culture at the time.
And I guess there's a pretty good example of that fusion of worlds. There's a version of Rite of Spring that will be performed at this year's festival.
Oh, yes, right. That's Emmanuel Gatti. He's a choreographer from Israel.
Yeah.
And, yes, we're all looking forward to that. It's interesting. These are the years that we see choreographers. Now, okay, at an earlier time in the history of modern dance, really, the major energy was all about getting away from the same old, the classical themes that were, you know, covered to done to death,
yeah.
was the thought in classical ballet. It's really weird. It's interesting that over the last few years, you're seeing a number of choreographers start to return to some of these themes and make them their own. A couple of years ago, for example, Shen Wei brought his Rite of Spring, his version of the Rite of Spring, yeah. To ADF. In fact, the world premiere of that work was here, and it really astounded us. It was this kind of abstract impressionist almost take,
yeah.
on that classical piece of music, absolutely going away. It had nothing to do with the traditional plot line, mm-hmm. In the work. But with Emmanuel Gatti, okay, here we have another choreographer who is returning to this theme and, you know, finding a strange way of making it his own. This is, we're going to see in several weeks' time, a salsa-infused Rite of Spring. You know, I was able to see advanced footage on a number of performances this for this season. That's one that I haven't seen advanced footage of, but the words from, the critic from Paris's Le Monde, she is just bubbling over about this work that that takes something of the plot from the Rite of Spring and just puts it into this world of machismo, this notion of there are two women, they're identified as... one is a possible sacrificial model, the other is this possible alternate in case the first one doesn't work out. And so I'm completely intrigued.
You really want to see it? But that shouldn't surprise us too much. I mean, Rite of Spring, when that happened, was revolutionary. That was a modern departure.
Indeed. I mean, it provoked riots
in the
streets of Paris when the Russian company did that in the 19-teens sometime.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. How accessible is this? Are there riots now? I mean, do you know what I mean? Mm. Do we all go in expecting something and turning away in horror? Or can the uninitiated walk in and appreciate what's going on?
Okay, and that I think is really such a crucial question. You know, I've been writing about theater and dance in this region for the past 11 years, right. And to some degree, the deck is always stacked against me. To some degree, because everyone already has their preconceived notions of what theater is and what modern dance is. Everyone already knows, quote unquote, that it's, you know, strange behavior in dark rooms, that it's so completely abstract, it's impenetrable, and the music
weird.
That's in quoting is just slam the lid down on the piano kind of stuff. You know, I come up against those preconceptions over and over again, and I can only say that, you know, my experience of this work is that. Well, you know, there's bad art and good art in all these various genres, but good art in modern dance is much the same as good art in these other fields. It should, and most often does, communicate something very clearly about the characters that we find, or the world that or the world that we find ourselves in. From my first exposure to modern dance in Greensboro at UNCG, the thing that really struck me about this was that it wasn't alien life forms on a stage. My interests in those years were primarily theatrical, and the thing that really grabbed me about modern dance from my first exposure was here I was looking at people. I was looking at very intricately defined characters on stage in a very clearly defined world in a dramatic situation. I mean, what I was seeing was theater just going forward by other means. Now, I'd be willing to place a fairly substantial bet that most of the people listening in on our conversation here have never been to a modern dance concert. I'm also willing to bet that most of them, a good number of them, probably wouldn't even consider doing it. I mean, it's not even on the radar. Modern dance, what is it? I don't know, so we're not going to go check it out. I know that if I could get them in the room for a good modern dance concert, for this work as it's defined at its best, I'd have them. They'd come back again, because what they would be seeing were clearly communicated characters in a dramatic situation in a world. It's the stuff that speaks to us all.
Some are more literal than others,
yes.
And you talk about some that have a real kind of a storyline and maybe a little less dance and a little more narrative.
Sure, sure.
And then you have, for instance, the urban bush women. Is it that now? That's a more socially conscious form of narrative that we're going to see.
The urban bush women. They just celebrated their 20th anniversary this last winter in New York, and. You know, there's this critic, Deirdre Funchen. She described them. I think she got it straight down when she said they basically sat the world down and gave it a talking to about the plight of African American women without any lectury. Wonk, wonk, wonk. I mean, traditionally, this is a group of people, African American women. I think they now have one African American man associated with the group. But this is very direct, very in your face, very humorous. Sometimes the humor is very sharp. Work about what it is like being in the bodies of African American women in this particular culture. So they're very strong on that.
It'll be very clear when we.
Yeah. But you know, the one thing that they're doing this year is a little bit different. This year is not going to be so much the work that they're bringing here is more of a historic tribute. They're doing a two-part homage to Pearl Primus, who was a modern dancer and choreographer. One of the handful of people who were instrumental in bringing African and Caribbean dance forms to Broadway in the 1940s. She's really one of the mothers of us all in that regard. And what they've done in the piece, the evening-length piece we're going to be seeing from them this year, they took her unpublished diaries that she kept while she was traveling through Africa and then traveling through the very rural South in the 1940s. Never published before. Took the diaries and have made an evening-length work. One of the dancers is reading from the diaries, mm-hmm. and the women are evoking what she came upon in her travels. So, you know, there we
should be able to follow the narrative pretty closely. I want to talk about another artist, renowned choreographer, of course, Bill T. Jones. Yeah. He'll be at the festival. And he's going to pick up the Samuel H. Scripps American Dance Festival Award for,
yes,
Lifetime Achievement.
Tell us about him.
Tell us about his career.
Goodness gracious. Bill T. Jones, I don't know how much introduction he needs to some of the folks in the audience. He's certainly one of the most popular modern dance choreographers. He's been on the scene for the last couple of decades. Probably his most famous work that we know him for was a piece that he did in 1994 called Still Here. When I write about him, I've described him as a choreographer, as a humanist, as an author, and a documentarian. In Still Here, he did, after he learned that he had been diagnosed with AIDS, one of the things that he did was that he convened a series of what he called survivor workshops across the country. These were, you know, conversations with groups of people who were facing serious illness, some cancer, some other life-threatening illnesses, some folks with AIDS. But convening these conversations with these people in cities across the United States just to ask them questions about what they believe, what meaning they give, were giving the disease that they were facing. And out of those conversations, out of those workshops, he creates this evening-length piece that combines documentary footage from those conversations with dance and music from this ensemble. This ensemble, by the way, that looks a lot like what our average mm-hmm. audience looks like. It's not a stage full of very thin people in this sort of, you know, idealized, whatever that might be, notion of the dancer. You have people who are of different generations. You have people, some of them thinner, some of them fatter, that kind of a deal. A cross-section, trying to get the stage to look like what we look like as a culture. And, you know, this was a very moving work, one of the most moving kind of fusion pieces I've ever seen.
What are some of the other social issues he's tackled?
Oh, shucks. Well, in his other works, he's dealt with elements of racism, certainly. In works like Uncle Tom's Cabin, there was his very different take on that particular story. He's dealt with issues involving immigrants and aliens coming to a new land, and sometimes the welcome or lack of welcome that mm-hmm. they receive in these places. So, I mean, in terms of a social commentator, this time around, he's doing a piece called Another Evening, and
You were a little more muted in your praise about this particular performance from what you've seen.
Yes. We were able to get access recordings of a number of the performances that are here.
Right.
I was very struck by some elements of this work Another Evening. While it's going on, you have a projected tote board with what I'm assuming is the national debt, and it's always going up during the entire performance. Meanwhile, you have people on stage wearing what looks to be like the placards that you put on when you go running for a marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
But the placards have there's one placard on the front, one placard on the back. The one on the front The one on the front of Bill's costume, Bill's cover, is the number 1952, which we assume is the year that he was born.
Yeah.
The number on his back, 1988, which is another very significant year in his time. So this is a work about he's thinking about mortality. He's thinking about a life work in the broadest sense that no one gets excused from. But by same token, when I'm looking at the DVD, I'm thinking, all right, I'm getting the concept, but this seems a lot more centerless in some ways. What I'm seeing in that particular performance,
centerless, so
yeah,
yeah,
diffuse.
Yeah.
Certainly, we've seen this artist do amazing and profoundly moving work in terms of a sort of choreographic collage, a multimedia collage.
Mm-hmm.
So we are getting elements of that here as well. But I do have questions just from the performance that I've seen about whether or not this is as strong as some of the works that we have seen from him in the past.
You know, you talked about the dance festival being a place that nurtures young artists and brings them along, and you make the point that if you'd gone to this festival a few times, you would have seen some of Shen Wei's work long before it got to New York.
Oh, yes, exactly. And this is the perfect year for that thought, because Shen Wei, coming out of China, he's now an American. He is an American citizen. He lives in New York. But he comes on to the scene around the year two. Well, I know he was brought here when ADF brought the modern dance company from Guangdong back in the 1990s, the first modern dance company in China, which ADF actually was instrumental in creating. So that's, again, another question of the ADF's influence.
Got it past the censors.
Exactly. Well, yes, exactly. So in 2000, he astounds us all with this work called Near the Terrace, which is a tribute, obviously, to the Surrealists. This very gentle, evocative sort of world. It looks like a world that's being painted by the inhabitants of a dream, and they're documenting their own impermanence in this piece. My point is this: we got that in the year 2000. New York is going to see it this summer for the first time, and that will happen at Lincoln Center a couple of weeks after he closes here.
So, what are the diamonds in the rough this year?
For the entire season.
Yeah. What? Well, in this festival, what
okay,
can we
exactly,
hear, see here that may show up in New York a couple of years?
Okay. Well, or showing up to some degree. Well, let's see. One group that I'm very excited about. I'm very interested in the work of Brenda Angeal, who really kind of, she's another one of those stories that out of nowhere comes up and just astounds us all. This was a work that she was here, I think, in 99 or 98. She did this piece called South Wall and After. ADF commissioned it. And I tell you, it's the situation. You're sitting in a seat in a theater and you're looking at performers on a stage. Mm-hmm. This is aerial dance, first off. So the dancers are suspended by bungee cords, okay, or some sort of flexible fabric. Yeah. There's a back wall to the back of the theater, and the dance is oriented so that the dancers' feet are on the back wall, and they're going back and forth. It's the weirdest thing. You feel like you are in the ceiling, looking down on the floor of a performance, not in a seat looking across. It's almost a sort of vertigo, sort of mind game situation. It was really a marvelous departure. The festival has commissioned two new works from her this season. And a lot of us are really interested in seeing what she's going to come up with in terms of this is the right sort of support, and this is the work being done on her dancers who know how to use the material, use the techniques. So
Chunky Move is another group that you're really excited about.
Very much so. This is a group out of Australia, and you know, in terms of recommending a show to people who maybe don't know an awful lot about modern dance, maybe have never been there before. This is one of those clear kind of crossover moments that you wanted to say, hey, if you like a psychological thriller, be it in the movies or in the books or that kind of a deal, you need to be in the room, because this is, the performance takes place on a turntable, first off, a large, big turntable.
More vertigo.
Well, not quite. It's a slower moving thing.
Right.
But the sense that we get, it's a cinematic sort of sense that at the beginning we're kind of panning from room to room in this apartment house, and we're glimpsing in on some very individual and very strange lives. And then slowly the walls start to come down, and the people get to know each other, and all manner of things break loose as a result of that. If you like the work of David Lynch, if you like work by someone like Brian De Palma, it doesn't matter if you've never seen a modern dance piece.
American Dance Festival is underway. Byron, thank you very much. Byron Woods is dance critic for the Independent Weekly. Just ahead on the State of Things, Fireflies light up the Smokies.